Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
What?
A Hail Mary that actually is caught by Kevin White at the 1 yard line. Jason McCourty is able to wrap him up and the game ends. And it was that type of game.
Yeah.
All afternoon long. How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. I'm
Fred,
good.
How are you today, Fred?
Hello?
Fred?
Fred?
Fred! Hello, Fred.
Fred hates airtime.
Fred doesn't like airtime.
He hates airtime.
I know Joey's been trying to give him additional airtime, and he won't take. What an unbelievable game.
Harmon was big on that too, because it looked like White could have maybe stretched the ball out a little bit. And Harmon came up and stopped him dead there too. So yeah, that was just a crazy way to end this game.
Now we got a lot to talk about, but let's start at the end. Steve, how is it that the Patriots did not close this game out with 7 minutes remaining? Brady throws the interception. Then they just moved the ball down the field. It's Kevin White,
yep,
who was nowhere in the – matter of fact, he got mock applause from the people in Chicago because he's been a total dud, right?
Well, Trubisky, I think he had four, maybe five completions to wide receivers the whole time. He was just hitting his tight – the tight end was wide open, and the running back, the little one they were
– Cohen.
Cohen. He was
Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, they weren't covering the tight end. And Cohen, they brought in mostly in the second half. They were doing a bunch of crossing routes with him because he's so fast. But the receivers weren't a threat. And then all of a sudden, a receiver almost comes up with the biggest play of the game at the end of it.
Unbelievable. And it was one of those games where the Patriots made mistake after mistake.
Yes.
After mistake and penalties. J.C. Jackson will not want to sit down with Bill Belichick and the coaching staff to look at the film of this one, I don't think.
Until that interception comes
up.
But you're right. It was It was some sloppy defensive play. It was letting Trubisky out of the pocket with breakdowns. It wasn't just that Trubisky's a good runner. He's a pretty good runner. But they were having some breakdowns in that pass rush. Remember the early Houston game when they kept Watson in the pocket a lot? Mm-hmm. They had great discipline on their pass rush lanes. This time they were leaving huge gaps for him to escape, and it came close to, well, that's a big part of the reason that Chicago was in the game, because he wasn't very effective as a thrower.
And you guys were pointing it out. You're obviously vocal about it, Fred, not so vocal, but you were talking about it during the course of the game, mistake after mistake. Oh, you got pinched inside. Oh, you lift them to the outside. Trubisky's legs is what kept Chicago
right
in this game, because he was not accurate throwing the football. Matter of fact, he was abysmal at times throwing the football.
He had some open receivers that he overthrew, underthrew, threw behind him, whatever it was. He wasn't good, if it wasn't for the Patriots trying to give the game away in the first half, this wouldn't have been a game.
Unbelievable. Final play of the game. Hail Mary. It is completed to the one-yard line. The 1 yard line. And the Patriots are able to stop it. If that goes one more yard, we are now looking at an overtime game. And, unbelievable.
And the beginning of that play, or the throw itself, it looked like Van Noy forced the ball to go a little bit higher, probably because he's got the arm to reach the end zone from right there. But it looked like because Van Noy was there, and it made Trubisky throw the ball a little bit higher than he
wanted. Would you do me
to
a favor? Would you give Fred some airtime? Because you've hogged all of the airtime so far. Would you give Fred a little airtime?
Fred,
would you like to say anything? Would you like to say anything?
Oh, gosh, that was tough.
Did you run up the stairs or did you take the elevator?
I tried all the doors that were locked. I couldn't get in the front door.
That worked.
I had to call
Good job, guys. Huh? Locking the doors worked.
I had to call Peter Crone to let me
listen,
in.
Listen, I walked right in. There was no locked doors there whatsoever.
You're the king.
Not a single locked door.
There's nothing worse than getting stuck and your friend drives by and waves at you.
Thanks, Stevie. You're the best, buddy.
What?
And motorcycle problem.
But you had a little problem?
A little problem, yeah.
Little technical problem?
A little technical problem. Sounding like Indian bikes. Shouldn't have been a barn burner like that.
No.
This
game should have been over 7 minutes ago, with 7 minutes of playing time.
When you left the Chicago.
Over ago.
Yep.
Somebody knew that he had to be here on time. Somebody knew. Somebody had ESP working.
Yeah, take a little notebook out.
There's so many things, and we're going to get to the phone call. 617-779-7937. Load them up. The Patriots started this thing off first down. Looked like it was going to be an easy day as they were able to do whatever they wanted. Then, of course, they end up losing Sony Michel. It did not look good.
Nope.
I believe it's the same knee that has been bothering him. He went to the tent, then he was carted off to the locker room. And this you look at right now and say Barner may be your guy from here on in.
Yeah. Not a bad back, you know, not as versatile.
He's not Sonny Michel.
No, he's
they'll be trolling the waiver wires.
Who sucks and blows, and now, unfortunately, you may look at the rest of your season and say, the guy who sucks and blows is going to, his injury kills you.
You're up by two touchdowns, 6 minutes left.
Yeah.
You know, and then you throw the little out to the back, I mean to the fullback, and it goes through his arms, interception, and bada-bing, bada-bang, it should have been where it was.
I'll tell you what, this is one of those where Belichick's just going
to
look at
it. But why would you throw to the fullback? You need to make sure a guy that can catch the ball. That's not the guy who's going to go.
I thought Brady was pretty good.
On the ball and eat the clock
He was under pressure, and his first three reads weren't good.
Right.
And he thought he could dump it off.
Was that a negative towards Brady that you were throwing out there?
What is wrong with
you? He found the open guy.
Wow.
He's got to hold on to it.
This is one of those that Belichick's going to look at it and say, oh, my God, guys. And matter of fact, the two turnovers in the first half, you're playing on the road. You hadn't won a road game yet.
Yep.
This is a pretty good team they're playing. Really, you're lucky that you won. You're lucky you had a 2-touchdown lead late in the game. You needed turnovers. You needed big plays to put yourself in a position to do it. Because you were making so many mistakes, untimely penalties again,
and they
against J.C. Jackson.
The one touchdown was hit the linebacker right in the chest, and he dropped it.
Yep.
And there's another one, Roberts, and then the other one by had it, and it got dropped out of his hands.
But then the Patriots turn around and return a kick for a touchdown, yep. But
they had the game in hand.
What was the return for a touchdown? The
kickoff.
The other one. The Patriots, the defense, Van Noy.
Oh, the block punt.
Block punt by Hightower. Who, by the way, does not, and we said this a few weeks ago, boy, Hightower's lost the step. I think he picked it up. I think he found that step back again.
It could have been just being tentative from injury.
Sometimes
guys come back and without even thinking about it, they get a little tentative from their injuries, and you can see it sometimes.
And when you said it's a tentative, you're not. Usually a linebacker is instinctive. He makes the move instinctive. Now he's thinking about it, so he's a step slower getting going. It's not so much he can't accelerate. He gets going one step further, slower, and then the quick backs come through the hole or the quarterback gets the ball out.
I think this is a different outcome if they're playing a better quarterback, and not that Trubisky was awful because he actually kept them in the game with some long runs. Most of that, and Steve already talked about it, you were silent, you didn't want to make a comment. That's fine.
Well, I want Steve to have his air time.
I get it. I get it. Joey heard the first 5 minutes. It sounds good. Yeah.
Well,
Joey, sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. I can always trust you to be.
Yeah. We're having a good conversation.
I mean, Steve is good in a two-man show.
Yeah, much better.
Thanks,
Steve.
But Trubisky
let the air out of my tires.
He kept him in the game, but a lot of that was just the Patriots defensively.
Poor tackling.
Tackling was awful today. There was one that big, huge run he had where he had the touchdown. I think they missed three or four tackles on that play alone.
Yes.
And he's just spinning him around, changing direction. That was a broken play.
But the backside.
That he's sitting there, let me see if I can find something out of
this. The backside contained, he just stays as deep as the quarterback sometimes. Don't go underneath and try and catch it. They're all over there. Stay where you're supposed to be and contain and force them to come back.
I don't know because I wasn't looking for it at the beginning of the game, so maybe they were doing it early on. But it seemed to me like they made an adjustment on Trubisky. Not that it had a great impact on the game, but they had Van Noy spying him. And he was just playing the middle and watch where he was going. But they had to do something because this thing was
getting away from him.
Whew. I think Belichick knew it was going to be a tough game. He had his hat on inside out. You notice that the logo was upside down and backwards?
Yeah. Good luck, hat.
You kept showing us that.
So. Good luck.
You're very observant.
He knew it was going to be a tough game.
But it was a game that they played very sloppily, you know, defensively, offensively. You know, they had plays Jordan was down, run down the sideline, not Jordan, and he threw it behind him,
Gordon.
Tom Lowe, Gordon. He threw a couple of bad passes to him on a third down. That would have been a first down. So he played well, but at times when crunch time came, there was a couple of bad passes.
And a big play that he threw that Gordon caught and then had the long run after that, he looked like he was having some physical problems or whatever.
He was limping a little bit after
he was trying to adjust, and he's trying to keep the thing alive, and then when he finally hit the ground, you could see he was feeling it. But the Sonny Michel injury is devastating if it is what we think it is.
He was just hitting a groove, too.
This did not look
three games.
This did not look like he'll be back in 2 weeks, did it? I mean, you can never tell.
That especially being carted off and whatnot, that's never a good sign.
When Hogan went down early on, you thought that was a problem.
Yeah, but
and then he got up
at,
and he
when
walked
you looked
off.
At his, he got hit from behind. Usually if you get hit from the side, that's when your ligaments tear. You get hit from behind.
Khalil Mack turned him over right on the
right ankle. Behind him. Yeah. So when he got up, it wasn't as bad. But when Michelle got twisted, that thing went twisted all the way around. So that ankle or knee, whatever it was, looked like he might have stretched some ligaments.
And talking about Khalil Mack, you didn't hear his name an awful lot today. So that injury he had, the ankle injury a week ago, he came back in the game against Miami. He was not effective, actually did nothing the rest of the game. It must have still been bothering him here today, or they did a terrific job with him, especially without Gronk. So you're looking at no Gronk in this game, and you're sitting there saying, well, we got Dwayne Allen out there, and that's about it for protection on that side.
Did you hear his name?
Dwayne Allen? Well, they weren't going to throw to him. I mean, come on. They could be down to no receivers, and they're running the ball. They're not throwing the ball to Dwayne Allen. It's obvious that Brady has no faith in throwing the football. But he was out there, and obviously he was helping them out on that side. But there was no Mac in this game. He was not a major factor in this game.
Saw him a few times against Brown, and Brown smothered him and just mowed him over. So the size and strength of Brown. And Brown is very athletic. He stayed with him on a couple of his moves. But once he got his hands on him, if he wasn't going upfield with that speed and quickness that he has,
it's gotta be hurt.
Yeah, you got to be. Because
the games that he was healthy and coming off the ball, he was
unstoppable.
Ridiculous. But so he's got to have that. Was it an ankle injury or something? But, again, that was a bonus for the Patriots. They didn't have to deal with him because they are a much better defense with him.
I would say the biggest problem that the Chicago Bears offered defensively was nickels. And they were running nickels. They were having nickels come inside. And David Andrews had himself a rough day, safe to say?
Yes. One time he just got thrown aside and allowed him to come right up the middle. Even one time looked like he left early. I don't know if it was Andrews or not, but one of them left way early on a screen. I know it was a quick developing screen, but to the point where Brady had to get rid of the ball way too fast.
Steve, it looked like he was expecting a little bit of bump from the guard because he slid a little bit to his left. And the DB defensive lineman come right up to his right.
Yeah,
and he was protecting the left. So maybe the guard made a mistake and not come down and bump.
Well, it was a killer. It was a killer on a third down situation because they had to settle for the field goal, not go for a touchdown. Where were they at a 4 yard line, something like that, at that point?
Yeah,
and that was a killer. So the interior line, which I think had been doing a pretty good job over the last couple of weeks, today I think it was a little bit ragged. And that caused some problems. All right, we're going to get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. Load them up. This was not one of those games in which you sit there and say, oh, man, Patriots are back to their old selves. They made a lot of mistakes. This was a really sloppy.
On all faces.
Oh, sloppy game by the Patriots. And the good news is that even without Gronk, they are able, and even without Sony Michel, they are able. There's a pretty good defensive
team
they're
too.
Playing.
You talk about Cannon.
And no Cannon as well on the right side. So they're able to produce a lot of points. Once again, 38. So they've gone 38, 38, 43, and 38 over the last 4 weeks. Pretty impressive how this offense has come together. And again, Josh Gordon is finding his way into this offense.
Yeah, when he catches the ball, it's beautiful to watch. He grabs it with his hands and just yanks it in.
All with his hands, by the way. Does not use the body at all. I wonder, he's always done that, but you wonder if that doesn't cost him somewhere down the line. Have you ever seen guys that just only use their hands, especially when you're talking about a big, strong, physical guy like that?
Yeah, but it works. He does grab that ball so quickly and so firmly. I mean, there's no doubting his ability and his talent. You just wonder how much he was hurt on that last run, or if he was.
Could it be the string again? You think the hamstring?
I don't know.
It looks like he was dragging one leg a little bit.
Yeah, I have no idea, but it was. But again, he's going to be a factor in this offense, and just the fact that you have to pay attention to him. Even we saw Hogan making a bunch of catches today, and that's because you had Edelman and Josh Gordon to pay attention to. So. But like we talked about earlier in the year, when you get a threat like Gordon in there and you have a Gronk and you have an Edelman, now all of a sudden you get your fourth best cover guy on Hogan, and that gives him more of an opportunity.
And the thing about Gordon, too, is when he catches the ball, it doesn't wiggle in his hands.
No.
I mean, it's just there's no movement.
No, how about the catch he made and he lost his helmet? Mm-hmm. So his helmet goes flying up, and you looked at it quickly. You said, oh, my God, he lost the ball. No, he lost his head. The ball is still in control. He's a hell of a talent, and you can only hope that he's got his life under under control a little bit here because I don't know how much they can do. I think Cleveland did as all they could, and the Patriots certainly behind the scenes are doing the exact same thing, but it's really on him.
I don't think the exact same thing. Maybe they gave him too much room to move.
Sorry.
It is Cleveland, which is a dysfunctional
situation.
Yeah,
but they had people that were working with him. You know, you talk about...
They're from Cleveland.
Okay, but you talk about having people around you, you know, supporting you and whatever. I think they had that. If anything, Cleveland needed him more desperately than New England
needed
him. They needed him to work.
There was pressure on him. He was the guy. Here, Tom's the guy. Gronk's the guy. Edelman's the guy. You got the coach. There's not as much pressure on him because he's not the main guy.
Yeah, but people say this, Fred. People say, well, this is his last shot. And he's gonna figure it out because this is his last shot.
Mm-mm.
This is not his last shot.
Too talented.
This is not his last shot.
Nope.
You know, a guy
he's
that,
a mid-level receiver, maybe, but yeah, he's ridiculously talented.
He's going to get another shot if it doesn't work here. And
he's still young.
You know, yeah.
The only thing
getting
his way is the NFL putting another year suspension on him for whatever reason. But but he is in a better organization. He is in an organization where he's not the standard bearer for the team.
The light's not always on him.
And he's with a better quarterback. He's finally with a very good with the best quarterback instead of the mutts that they ran through in Cleveland. So
a little bit better coach and staff.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, but the support system giving him, I'm not sure it's much different than what Cleveland was giving him. I think the difference is obviously the quarterback. Obviously, he has said this, that he had trouble being in the limelight,
right,
that he was the guy. In this offense right now, he's your third, fourth receiver.
So
right?
So it's not the pressure he had before.
That's correct. So maybe there's a little bit less pressure on him. But it's still
on
him.
He's not getting double like he was because he was the primary function weapon when he was out there with Cleveland. When he was healthy, he was unstoppable. But like you said, there's not a lot of talent, and the quarterback's at the best in the world.
But from a perspective of what he's doing on the football field, I think they're keeping it simple. Notice it's a lot of slants. That's what they're doing, crossing yards. They're keeping it pretty simple. They're keeping him pretty much in the same spot. He's not moving around much.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to make it as simple as they can because they need to start ramping him up. And we'll see as the season progresses on, especially when you get through the bye week. I would think they add a few things, try to create a few more things for him. But injury-wise, you've got to see what happens to Gronk. Is Gronk going to be okay? I would guess that two things for Gronk. One, losing a game here is going to hurt him with his incentive plan to make that money.
Second, how bad is his bag?
I don't know. Second of all, they're not going to tell us.
Tell you.
But it was enough for him not to go to Chicago.
Not even make the trip.
Right. And second of all, I think he wants to play in Buffalo. He loves playing up there in his hometown.
Trap game, Buffalo. Glenn, they scored 2 points today.
Five.
No, they got five.
They got five.
They got a field goal and a safety.
After two.
You tuned out after they got the safety.
They're down 30-20. You can count it. Two, I mean, they lost me.
Listen, they're in a rebuilding decade. No big deal. You know?
20th year of rebuilding.
Well, the worst part is they thought they had their quarterback. Then they found that their quarterback's hurt. And then the players apparently are fearful of putting Peterman out there. And the coach is fearful that he's going to have a mutiny if he puts Peterman out there because the players don't want him. So they go and they pick up Derek Anderson off the scrap heap. They give him 4 days and say, you're our starter.
Did well.
Right. And they got blown out.
Blown out.
Blown out today. That will be the Patriots' opponent. It is a week from Monday. That's another good thing. You get an extra day.
Mm-hmm.
You get an extra day. You might need that extra day, certainly for Gronk. You may need that extra day. I'm not sure it's going to help Sony Michel. I don't think we're going to see him in a while.
No. I hope he's not out for the season.
Well, that's the question. I think that's the only question. Now,
What a shame.
Do you lose it? Right, he was looking terrific.
He was coming along real nice.
Yeah.
Where's Blunt? Can you get him back?
No, Blunt's playing for another team.
He's playing for another team.
But he might smoke a bone or
trade,
two,
yeah.
And he might
Le'Veon Bell
free out there.
Le'Veon
trade
Bell.
I don't think they're going to make that deal, Fred.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen.
How much would that cost?
You notice every time somebody is available, people always come up, the Patriots going to go. Amari Cooper apparently is available, okay? And Oakland is looking for a first-round draft pick in return. Why would a team do that? Give a first-round draft pick. So
they wouldn't.
There's some rumors out there that maybe Dallas offered them a second-round draft pick, and apparently it wasn't good enough for Gruden. It wasn't good enough. He wanted more than that.
Well, he thinks he's going to make the playoffs.
But the Patriots aren't giving up a second-round draft pick. Well, yeah, one more week. With Gordon already here.
One more week in the trading deadline?
It's 30th is the trading deadline.
Okay, so yeah, so a little over a week. So.
But I think you're going to have teams dealing players off. I think there are teams that are going to finally be able to confess, yeah, we're not going to win anything this
year. You're going to need a running back.
Yeah.
You need somebody. I don't know if Gillislee is still out there. Did he sign somewhere? I have no
idea. Didn't he sign with?
I thought he did.
Somebody, yeah. But I don't know if he's been released or not.
But
I don't know if he's been active.
They're gonna have to look to it. That just did not look like Sony Michel was gonna come back soon at any time.
Nothing on the practice squad.
So
no.
What
do they
about Burkhead? How long is he gonna be? Yeah, neck issue. Injury.
Hey, I don't think he's coming back. They still have Ralph Webb, don't they? Is he still on the
practice?
He was the
squad.
Kid that played well in the preseason.
Yeah, very well.
But you're right, Steve. They, when you look back at a few weeks after having a rough first 2 weeks, and it made sense, even though some people thought that he sucked and he blowed and he it was a waste of a first-round draft pick.
He shouldn't be on the air. I should.
He, that's a good point. Why don't you call Joey,
Joey
about 11:30 at night and ask him.
You hear me?
See if he can get you on the air. But if you look at it, he didn't play during the summer. He wasn't around during the preseason. What the hell did you expect? Now, you watch him in the last few weeks, totally
very
different.
Impressive.
Great, great vision, great cutting ability. Seems to know. The only thing I think he's missing is throwing the ball to him. Hands, throwing the ball to him.
And he caught a screen
early in the game.
You know, but those are easy, should be easy catches. But, again, they're going to be looking around, and they'll be looking hard, and whether it's a trade or find somebody on a practice squad somewhere, they're going to have to get somebody. Because you're not going to have James White taking 64 snaps.
No.
No way.
And the other kid's average.
Barner?
Barner's he's okay.
He's a third string change-up.
He runs
hard, and that's about it. But what Michelle was giving him, you could see it. It opened up an awful lot for their offense, especially play action. Once you're able to establish it with a kid like that that's a real legitimate threat, with a guy like Brady, play action with the receivers he has, now you take that away from them. That's going away here. That's a big loss, I think. Huge loss, even though he blows and he sucks. All right, we're going to get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. I got to do this, though. I got to let him get the first opportunity. Jimmy and Sawyer.
Say Joey.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hey,
Jimmy.
Hey, we barely escaped getting mauled by the Bears, and we're going to make Dodger blue bleed Red Sox red.
Okay.
Jimmy,
did you like that barely defeat? Just played off the bear. It's not bad for Jimmy. Yep, not bad.
Real high bar, but good.
All right, 617-779-7937. We'll let you throw in your 2 cents. Rough afternoon. It is a win. The first road win of the season for the New England Patriots. They up their record to 5-2, 38-31. Your final. We get to the phone calls coming up next. All right, back here on the Real Post Game Show, Glenn Ordway, Steve D'Ossi, and Fred Smirnoff. A little late, but better late than
locked
never.
Locked me out. You and Steve have cards. He's working all the time.
Almost got locked up.
I'm
not locked out.
Knocking on the window. There's a note by Steve.
Clearly one of those games in which you could look at it and say they could have easily lost this game. They did not play well enough, really, to beat up a good team. And I'm not sure Chicago was a real good team today.
Well, the defense was supposed to be better, and they moved.
Mac's not the same right now. He's not. You could tell he's not a factor, and I think he changes everything up for him defensively. Hakeem Hicks, who was here a couple of years ago, you can see the difference. He's had great games, all because you've got to put so much concentration on the other side.
Right.
On Khalil Mack,
too. Yeah,
right. And Trevathan as well, who was a monster out in Denver, if you remember.
But the big disappointment, though, was Trubisky. They had him. They had him a bunch of times. They just didn't follow protocol. You know, when you get a contain, you're staring your guys, whatever. He ran all over the place and back and forth. One of you run 60 yards in that 110-yard run.
Yeah.
He ran all over the place, and nobody can catch him, and no one cut him off. He had lanes open. They were missing tackles. You can't do that. He's not a great runner. He's an okay runner.
He's a good runner. He's just they lost discipline on some of their They had one game where – I don't remember which one, but he came all the way, looped all the way inside the defensive tackle. The defensive tackle looks like he's trying to go outside, gets bumped a little bit, and decides he's going to go inside too.
You said that to me, watch it, because that's called the ET, where the end comes down, and the defensive tackle has to take his place.
Has to come out.
So he took the easy way. He got bumped and went inside, and there's no one to his left.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was driven inside. He was just bumped a little bit, and he decided to go inside with it. It's just crazy.
I'm telling you, if Trubisky was a little bit more competent in the passing game, Chicago wins this game today.
Yeah.
He was 26 of 50. He did end up with 333 yards, but there were a couple of big plays kind of padded that.
How long was the throw at the end?
Two touchdowns. Two. That was
50, 60 yards.
Yeah. Two touchdowns, two interceptions, two sacks, a quarterback rating of 69.8. And that was the highest of the night. It was in the 40s through most of this game
because I was last pass was worth 50 yards.
Right. All right, to the phone calls we go. Brandon is first up on the Real Post Game Show. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Brandon.
I was just thinking, what are the possibilities of us trading for Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, I don't think it's
slim to none.
Yeah, I would say none. And none is leading right now in that race.
Yeah, slim to none. Just first off, why would Pittsburgh do that? Second off, then all of a sudden the Patriots have to pay him the kind of money he's talking about.
They're not doing that.
No.
They're not doing that.
What does he want? He wants like $20 million a year?
It's a rental. We don't need to pay him. Just rent him.
Yeah, rent them for a year. I mean,
you got to pay them for the rest of the year.
That probably cost you $7.5 million.
They did free up some money this past week. They redid Gilmore's deal, and they've opened up some money.
$5.5 million.
Yeah, so my guess is that they've got something in mind here, but it might have changed today because they were going really with two running backs. They had Barner on for this week's game. He played last week as well. But very little. I think he was in one series. Wasn't
Is Webb not an answer?
I'm not sure he is.
He's not a
why would they go out and get Barner if they thought that he was the answer? I'm sure
because they're getting deep into the bond. There.
But I got to believe they're going to do something. But doesn't that all change right now when you look at the Sony Michel injury? To me, that changes everything for the season.
Agreed.
It's the one big upgrade that you had over the last three games. It's been the difference in the last three games is that you've been able to do things offensively because Michelle's running the football.
You get a guy that's averaging 100 yards a game on the ground for the last 3 weeks. I mean, that's significant.
Signing Bell, what would that cost them? They would have to trade anything?
Are we discussing this?
Oh, you'd have to trade.
Don't waste
our time. What
do you mean don't waste
Do you think Pittsburgh's trading him to New England?
They may.
Why?
Because it's not coming to them, and they got a kid that can run pretty well.
The only way they would do it is if you're giving an awful lot in return.
Yes.
Do you think Bill Belichick is giving an awful lot in return?
It's better than what they're getting now.
Okay. Mm.
Has anyone offered him anything? He's just sitting out there.
You're trying to talk yourself into this one.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're wasting your time.
He's doing that old thing where you throw something crazy up against the wall in case it sticks all of a sudden. I called it.
Why don't you go in the other room and call the show? We get those all the time.
You're going to call it from me. How about that? Oh, no. Josh is going to call me.
You could have called from the road.
I did. My bike was broken down, and you guys are going to come help.
He's looking, as I'm passing him really slowly, he's looking at me like,
help me, please. Yeah, just to have a little
flat. I beeped at you.
Beep, thanks. The best.
So Brady was 25 of 36, 277 yards. It didn't seem like he had more yards than Trubisky. But again, all fake yards. I think some of them were fake for Trubisky. 7.7 average on a catch, three touchdowns, one interception. He was sacked one time. Actually went down on his own on that one. Mm-hmm. He just said, forget it.
Yep.
I'm not going to lose the football. And he had a quarterback rating of 108.2.
The offense wasn't horrible. His special teams almost cost him. Then our special teams came back. Defense, just too many openings, too many easy throws for him, you know?
Well, and no coverage. Let's look at some of the special teams. So Patterson gives you the, 95-yard kickoff return. Patterson also gave up seven earlier in the game when he ran into his own man holding the ball out here somewhere, and the ball gets knocked loose. And that's what I think
can't happen.
Cordarrelle Patterson
should be holding it tight enough that if you're bumping into someone, it doesn't leave you.
Unfortunately, I think that's what this kid is. He's a gadget player and he's a trick or treat player. He's going to trick you on the next one.
And we saw that today. A great return, nicely. And he's better when he's running. He's fast as hell.
With space,
run full speed instead of waiting for something to show up. See a gap. Fly through the gap. Maybe you get through it. Maybe you don't. But if you get through that gap, you're done. You're gone.
When he fumbled, he ran into the gap. He hit his own guy. He wasn't even aware.
He does that. He runs. He's great. Steve, you're right. He's so quick. And he's great when he has space. The problem is you look at it sometimes, and we don't have the overhead, so you're not looking at the all 22. But it almost seems to me at times he runs into bodies. He's almost like a magnet. He's attracted to traffic out there.
He's trying to anticipate the gap opening up and very – even – great running backs. You know, Barry Sanders could do it. Bell could do it. Peterson could do it. Bo Jackson. You can't make that read every single time. You're not going to be able to anticipate the movements of, especially on a kickoff return, of five or six guys that are in the area. You can't anticipate all of them at once. You got to just hit that hole as fast as you can, and if you get the gap, then you explode.
He's not as nifty as he is fast.
Right.
No, and they've used him somewhat in the backfield for a lot of reverse stuff, yeah, and stuff like that, and he seems to have problems with that.
He's got some okay moves.
But you're right. He's thinking too much maybe sometimes. Right. So he's sweeping right. They're running that little sweep right, and what does he do? He says, "Oh, that guy. Oh, that guy." And then there's this hesitation, and then they get him for a 2-yard loss.
That's right. Just go as fast as you can. And if that size, a corner's coming up or safety, you're going to make some yards just running into him instead of stopping and trying to, you know, dodge a guy. He's not great at that. But when he hits a full head of Steve going around the corner, it's not Steve.
Scares the hell out of me. I mean, you talk about guys that you can just trust. I mean, you can trust Edelman. You can trust Gronk. There's starting to become some trust, I think, for Josh Gordon now.
Edelman took one off the face mask on a punt return today, too. He did. Which was totally uncharacteristic.
Was that the sun? They kept on talking about the shadows on the sun because they've rebuilt the old Soldiers Field. And so there's like the middle of the field, there's a shadow out there.
I attribute to one of those days. When he drops it, when's the last time you saw him drop it? But he did get the ball back.
Initial reaction, I think Steve came up with it, and Steve said he had one step going the other way. He was already anticipating the run before he actually was able to catch the ball.
Well, it looked like he was going to do a spin move back out to his to the right and come around because he saw where the defenders were.
It's on a 4-yard line, though, right? Yeah, it was deep.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Just let it go.
Ooh, that's scary.
4-yard line. And it's not, I mean...
Well, if it's if it's a punt, let it go, probably go to the end zone.
Usually the standard idea on special teams is you plant your, as a punt returner, you plant your feet on the 10-yard line, and you don't back up for the ball. You don't. You let it hit inside the 10-yard line, and maybe it's a little less now, I don't know, 8, 9, or whatever, but sometimes you get very good punt returns like he is, and sometimes you let him play a hunch, and he thought he had something there.
His instincts are great. When he gets the ball, he has good field vision, but like you said, he was looking downfield and started his move before he solidified the ball.
Just a hair, just a fraction early he started. He saw what he was going to do, a spin move, and try to get out of there, and it clunked right off his face mask.
Now, this is kind of interesting. Our buddy Christopher Price reporting this.
Christopher Price.
Rob Gronkowski had a nameplate over his locker in the locker room today in Chicago. He had a full equipment bag at his locker as well.
How does he
know? They must have... Well, he's there.
They would let him in the locker room.
So
that was a janitor.
I'm wondering if they anticipated, because he didn't make the team flight, I'm wondering if they anticipated that maybe with a little bit more treatment or something back here, that he would be able to make the trip.
Just in case.
That's unusual that the equipment bag and the nameplate is especially the equipment, right?
If you know
that's
he's unusual. Not on the trip, you don't bother.
They're not going to load. Who's going to load his bag up? He loads it up, you know, to put all the things you want in that type of shoes. Yeah. So, you know, no, the equipment guys don't load it up. He loads it up because he wants to take what he wants.
So
he must have loaded up, and at the last second, they
all right, the reason I throw that out there, could this be one of those in which the medical staff is sitting there going, this back could get worse. He gets hit. This could be a bigger problem for him, right? And he's sitting there going, screw that. I want to play. Now, remember, he's got an incentive-laden contract. It's all based on games. He's got to be at the games to be able to reach any of those, you know, levels that he has to hit. Is he the one that sat there and said, I want to play in this game?
He has no voice.
They ruled him out.
No, who has the last voice? Not Belichick. The doctors.
Correct.
They do not interfere with the doctor. Doctors say no, he doesn't go.
But you guys just explain what happens with the equipment bag. The equipment bag was there. Gronk was not.
But he's not the one.
So it may have gotten worse in between. Let's say it got worse from the time you pack your bag to the time they're ready to leave.
That's not a good sign.
He's had four operations on the back already?
He's had back problems dating back to high school, I believe.
Or it's a matter of they look at it and they said, well, you know what? We could probably beat this Bears team without him. Let's give him that time off.
Yeah, but I wonder how he feels about that. That's what I think it might be, Steve. So
good point.
They're sitting there going, come on. You know, we need you for the whole season. We can't have you go up there and aggravate the back again. You get hit one time, and it's a mess. We have extra time. Okay, you're now going to have 2 weeks and an extra day to prepare for the game. We'll get you up in Buffalo. You'll play in Buffalo, and he's sitting there going, "Screw you! I want to play."
What's he saying? Screw you! He's not going to tell the Belichick to tell him if he's going or not.
I'm just throwing that out there.
You're trying to add a little more theatrics to it.
Yeah,
you probably
said,
"Grock, you're not playing."
You're so protective of people. Steve and I are trying to get to the bottom of what might have happened.
Just the binkies.
Screw you, Bill.
You'd be a terrible sleuth. You'd be awful at it. You really would.
You'd be a terrible
I like that guy. There's no way he
truth.
Could kill somebody. I like
hey,
that guy.
Bill, I'm playing.
Fred likes to be the victim at all times. Yeah, so what difference
for, such a big, vicious, tough guy, he does like to be the victim.
Please.
I was a victim of the side of the road and Steve drove by me.
Scares people with his looks
and
size.
I knew that guy. I went to high school with him. I should have talked to him for you.
I could tell he went to high school with you. Had me down face down around.
Fred's had a difficult day today.
Long day. It would have been worse with the Patriots. The one good thing that comes out of this whole thing, the whole AFC East lost, but the Patriots.
The AFC East sucks.
Terrible.
These people a few weeks ago that were trying to convince us that Miami was good. Okay? And, this is a problem. If you lose that Miami game, you're going to fall so far behind in the division. Miami's good. They're going to win the division. They'll win 10 games. Please. Do you think Miami has any chance of sniffing anywhere close to 10 games? They may have trouble winning 8 or 9 right now.
They're not surprising. Buffalo's not surprising. The Jets aren't surprising.
I think Buffalo's
Jacksonville's
surprising.
A little surprising. What's going on with them right now?
Blake Bortles was benched today in the middle of that game.
Yep.
Blake Bortles, I swear to God, if you want, you need to put glasses on Blake Bortles so that you distort the uniforms for the other team and all Patriot uniforms.
You playing the Patriots?
Playing the Patriots.
Paint his glasses red, white, and blue, so that's all he sees. And have Brady's face in there. He comes out and plays like Tom Brady.
He's great.
The Patriots.
He's great.
We're like, wow.
And the funny thing is, they say, he's not so good on the road. Really? He's pretty good in that playoff game last year at Gillette.
Right. Really good.
What are you talking about?
He's not good anyway.
Against the rest of the teams, he sucks.
Yeah.
And that defense, the problem with that defense, I think, Steve, is the game is changing. And the Jaguars defense is not
run stop.
You can't have a defense now. Your team can't be built all on defense. It's an offensive league. The rules have changed.
It's the truth.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to score. And that's the problem. You talk about the division. Problem with the division, there isn't a quarterback that can tie Tom Brady's laces, never mind go out there and try to compete with him on a football field.
No, there isn't. But,
how many quarterbacks are in the AFC? I mean, you got Mahomes, you got Roethlisberger, who else do you got?
Luck's playing well this year.
Luck's okay.
He's playing very well. They just have nobody on the team.
That was Buffalo, all right? Don't ever look at somebody
vicious.
How they play against Buffalo, all right?
You're vicious.
It's a team that can't even score a touchdown.
Good. 5 points. That's rare.
Well, that's because Indy's got best defense in the league. Oh,
No. They're not good. They're bad.
Sorry.
It's a bad defense.
Now, the Gang Green, they got a new quarterback. That's not a bad player.
Well, they might have three.
He may be the second best quarterback.
I don't know. Maybe. But talk to me 3-4 years from now, because that's what the Jets are doing. The problem with Buffalo is they were in the playoffs last year, were they not?
Yes, they were.
They were in the playoffs.
They decided to rebuild again. Let's rebuild. Never rebuild.
Can't do it without a quarterback. We look at today's game. If that's a better quarterback, today, we're sitting here talking about another Patriots road loss.
Because he missed some receivers that were wide open.
Wide open.
Wide open.
And terrible throws. With no pressure on him.
I'm
talking about the ones he missed weren't because of
wide
pressure.
Open.
Yeah,
he's not accurate. But he did make up with the run.
He bailed out on pass interference by the Patriots a couple times. He bailed out.
Yeah.
There was no reason for Jackson to touch something.
The Patriots got the ball. There was three penalties on that to go 20 yards.
Mm.
Remember? Three penalties on the one that Michelle fumbled.
One on
a
third down, they kept the drive alive. Listen,
You
can't look at this game and feel good about what the Patriots did. And obviously the Michelle injury even worse. The what?
This was a team that they should have beat them by 21 points. They had up by 2 touchdowns. They just played they didn't play fundamental football. That's the big thing the Patriots do.
Well, I think that a lot of people felt that it might be a tough game because they were looking at Chicago and saying that's a really good defense.
Well, they were thinking Khalil Mack.
Correct. The defense is not good today.
No, not good. Khalil was invisible.
Invisible.
I didn't even think he was playing.
It's the ankle. It's exactly what you
hurt.
Exactly what you saw last week in Miami. So he doesn't practice all week long. He's never missed an NFL game. So he comes in and plays without practicing for an entire week, doing treatment on the ankle all week long. And he looked like a statue at times.
He was, and he was out of the game a lot too.
Yeah,
because when you're that small, he's only about 250.
And they had him in coverage, and he was terrible in coverage.
I know,
but he's strong as hell. But you are one step slower, and them big fatties can jump on you once you get a hand. Like when Brown got on him, big monstrous man, he avoids those guys touching him.
He's a
little
thing,
slow, so he got caught, and he just got flown up, pushed all over the place.
The other thing Brady did to perfection today with James White, that connection with James White, every time he saw that outside linebacker on him, boom, go to him, boom, outside linebacker, boom, mismatch, boom.
Number 94,
whoever that was. That was it. He threw to him every single time, including that touchdown.
He reads that so quickly.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, 617-779-7937. If you don't know what happened elsewhere around the NFL, we'll update you on that. We'll take your phone calls. We're here until 7:30, and then we've got Sunday Night Football. All right, back here on the Real Post Game Show. We'll be here until 7:30, and we've got a bunch of open lines. I thought people would be all over this one. They would have if they had lost that game, if White had taken it into the end zone, and then they got beat by a field goal or a touchdown. And maybe that's what happened. People left with about 5-6 minutes left in the game and said, this is over. You get a 2-touchdown lead. There's no way Chicago comes back into this one. But it went down to the last play in the game. Tackling, horrendous today. Sloppy play on both sides of the ball. Ridiculous mistakes, errors that you don't normally see from a Patriots team.
Two interceptions.
Yeah, to the point where you could look at it and say, turn that microphone around. It's got to be the other way. You're on the back side of the microphone. People can't understand you, Fred. They have trouble hearing you normally. At least turn the microphone on so people may be able. Some people may be able to understand you. Sometimes I swear to God he's speaking Greek, but he's Greek and he doesn't understand a word of Greek, so it can't be that. Turn it around. Just turn it around. It says not this side. Turn the other side around.
You are the all-time best,
Chris. Do me a favor. Can you come in and babysit Fred for the rest of the afternoon?
You got it. I'm on.
Jeez, this is ridiculous.
Can you please stop bloviating these big aloha? Look at this. Mike suck.
You are the best.
His mic's okay. Steve's okay. Look at this.
The microphone's going to fall right through the whole thing.
It just fell on my lap.
We only have 2 more weeks in the studio. Can you keep the studio together before we leave?
Before you got here,
Steve's got more, though.
Glenn told me to set that up. I said, there's no way he falls for it. You fell for it. I couldn't believe it.
Fell right in my lap.
Glenn made me set that up.
All right, how's that, Glenn?
It's special.
Much better, Fred. Much better.
You're the best.
Wait till Steve starts calling your phone and it starts ringing.
You left when you're up by 2 touchdowns. Going, that's done, and you went. You left to come here.
That's true.
You did.
He's responsible. You never know what could happen.
You don't know.
Could be traffic.
And left your team. Steve and I were there to pick up the pieces.
But when the show started, Steve and I were in the studio. You were nowhere to be found.
As you waved at me when I was broken down the side of the road.
But it was one of these games where, and the tackling was off. If you look at Trubisky, so he has a big day running. He was the leading runner.
Yep.
And a leading runner in the game. And you look at a lot of those runs, shouldn't he have had half that yardage if they had some decent tackling?
If they left contained, he probably would have had a quarter of that yardage. Because like Steve said, if you're doing a twist or a stunt, whatever it is, the guy that's got outside contained can't come inside the tackle.
They were doing that consistently.
They were
getting caught inside. It was unbelievable.
They did that the second half last week against Kansas City and letting him out of the pocket. First half, they didn't do that. So you gave him a lot of that yardage just from making mistakes, which is why it was disturbing, because you could have just played your spot, not try and get to him, keep him in the pocket, don't let him run, and it would have been different.
We don't say this often, but it was very undisciplined play by New England today. You don't see that. I mean, some of the penalties were just outright stupid. I mean, hands to the face, not once, but twice
easily.
By J.C. Jackson. And you said, and both times, and matter of fact, you almost get called a third time for it. And you sit there going, why did he have his hands up on the guy's face, on the receiver's face? There was no reason for him to do that.
Let me ask you another question on Jordan, right?
Gordon.
How about the targeting right into his helmet? It was typical, exactly what they say.
They don't call that anymore.
He targeted and he hit him in the helmet.
Absolutely.
Remember?
Well, you're talking about when they threw the flag and then decided against it, which was dumb because as they were picking it up, as they were explaining that there was no penalty, they showed the slow motion of the penalty, and it was an absolute letter of the law penalty. No two ways.
And that group
about it.
Had not called one. Is that the truth?
So I don't understand this, Steve. We started the season off by saying there was going to be an emphasis on protecting the safety of the players, and we're going to start calling a lot more with a head-to-head contact. Mm-hmm. And then they gave us video examples of it. This is going to be called, and that's going to be called. We are now 7 games into the season, and this crew today called none of it. And you're right. They had an opportunity to call it.
Right.
It was obvious.
They did call it.
And they called it, and they pulled the flag up. And by the way, have you ever seen an officiating crew? And I know you love to beat up on the officials, so I'm giving,
rightfully so,
you the opportunity. Did you ever see a crew that had to confer with everybody else more than this one? Every single play.
What do you think?
Let's have a little conference. Everybody come on in. Let's talk this play over.
That's why it was the longest game in the afternoon. Yeah. All the other games were done 8, 10, 12, 15 minutes before that.
Buffalo's game was done an hour before that.
So they didn't
when they showed up at the stadium.
They didn't trust each other? Was that it? I mean,
no,
they've got to call everybody
that
in.
What were the other guys saying? Well, I didn't see
it. I have no idea.
You see it. I don't want to take that call. Oh, this is, I don't want to get attacked by these people from Chicago. They're killing everybody. So who, when they picked that up, what was the conversation? We saw it again, and the whole place saw it, and it was 100% a target.
Okay, we were talking here a few minutes ago about the Josh Gordon play, and it was a great play, and he made a nice run after it. And we were talking about the possibility of being hurt. If you remember initially when it happened, I looked at you guys and I said, he's tied.
He's lumbering.
Now, I put a joke out there that I probably won't repeat.
Wasn't
but
that funny? But,
it was funny. Yeah. It was funny. You laughed. Funny. You laughed at the time. Guess what? Listen to this. This is Josh Gordon talking about what happened on that play.
You know, I think we just worked on that play, worked on the connection from last week and having that miss from adjustments. And this week I kind of got a better look at it, better time. And I think with time and having a week of practice helped, and was able to just go over and make a play. And a 55-yarder, just an end cut. And unfortunately got a little bit tired there at the end of that 96-yard drive, but you know, it was fun, it was great.
He's
so
honest.
I'm glad I got a
okay. Hold on, 7 games into the NFL season, Josh Gordon is admitting that the problem had nothing to do with physical injury. Okay, I don't care. He was with Cleveland, he was playing Fred. He played, you know, he missed a couple weeks during the summer to go to some retreat or whatever to get his
he
head
wasn't
on
in shape
straight
coming in,
but he's still not in shape with game 7 with being with the Patriots.
Unfortunately, he got a little bit tired there.
4 weeks he's been with the Patriots, and he's telling us now that he was out of shape?
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, how many snaps did he have compared to the previous games? That's the first part of what I'm thinking. The second part is
he had a lot last week.
Okay, so this, I had no idea the numbers, but the second part is, you know, sometimes things are going the way you want. You don't want to tell anybody about an injury if you think it's something you can handle yourself.
So I mean, how many times you think he's lying?
I don't know. It could be. Cause how many times did you self-treat your injuries, knowing full well
you don't tell people you're tired. What you say is, I'm fine.
But see, here's the difference. Where we played, people didn't notice running
you're
70
get
yards.
Off of the field and then come back.
Yeah, we weren't running 70 yards like he did, and you could tell that there was something different towards the end of that run. So, you know, I don't know. I've seen it. I've seen every single guy I played with would take care of some little injuries themselves. Right. You know, maybe that's the situation. I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching a little bit, but either way, you know, he's still a factor.
They're
as long as he doesn't miss a snap next week, that's fine. I don't care if you were tired or if you were banged up a little bit. It doesn't matter to me. Just don't miss a snap.
Belichick's got to have him running the hills this week down there in Foxborough.
Then he'll be more tired all week.
That's what coaches do. Oh, you're out of shape. You're running all week, and then you're exhausted for the next week. It takes a little bit of time for him to get in playing shape.
I just think this was shocking for him to say that. I said that to you at the time. I said, he
just looked like he was lumbering.
Once
he made
tired.
That second move and exploded, he didn't have the explosion. He could have made it in easily because he's fast as heck.
None.
No.
So he's out there basically not, and granted, this was a long run, I give you that, but he's got to be in better shape than that. We're playing.
You would think so.
We're playing week 7 here, fellas.
True.
Well, this is not week 2 or 3. You know, this is week 7.
Working his way back in.
All right, let's go to the phone calls. Here's Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Good, good. Real quick, at the very end of the game, I like the punt call if Ryan Allen executes a little bit better. Me and my old man were talking about it. He made up a good point. You know, you would think a long field goal puts you up 10, but if you miss it, you give them a shorter field. If Ryan Allen executes the punt better at the end, you know,
no chance.
Obviously
that's right.
Safer play. But what about going forward on fourth down, running another play up the middle, running a few more seconds off the clock? Maybe you get it. You can seal the game. If you don't, still got, you know, you only netted 13 yards on the punt. What do you think about running forward on fourth, trying to seal it that way?
I think the plan was to execute a better punt. If you run the ball and you don't get it, now you're talking about 25, 26 seconds left on the thing. It's almost the same, pretty close to the same as a missed field goal in that situation. So I think the first thing you said about it was absolutely correct. They were anticipating a much better execution on the punt by Ryan Allen.
Was it 13-yard net on that?
Yeah.
That's not quite what they were looking for. They're looking to pin them down. Right. So there's no way they could get down unless it was a 50-yard pass, 60-yard pass. But they would have pinned him down, and they wouldn't have enough time to get up. And otherwise, it didn't work out for him, like a lot of things that happened for him today. A lot of things they tried to do didn't work out.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I agree with your first point about Ryan Allen executing it better. But the going for it with running the ball or even throwing the ball would have been almost the same thing as a missed field goal.
I think that's it, Chris. It just is not the punt they anticipated. They expected to pin them back deep in their own end and, give them 85, 90 yards that they'd have to go and to tie up the
with
game.
24 seconds left.
Right.
Maybe even less if the ball dies.
What was
at the
a 50-yard field goal?
You figure if they get the ball, on the 20-yard line, 25-yard line?
What are you talking about, the end of the game? Field goal's no good.
No, the Patriots.
No, I'm talking about the Patriots.
Oh, the Patriots taking a field goal. But if you miss it, Fred, you're giving them great. And look at how they moved the ball on the last possession.
It's over if you kick the field goal.
It's over if you miss the field goal.
It's over if you punt it. You still have a shot at it.
But if you run the ball and get the first down, it ain't going either a couple yards. I'm asking, do you weigh running the ball? And also, how much time runs off? Is there a rule that if it's a turnover on down, the clock stops?
It does. If you don't make it on fourth down, the clock stops.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm 100% with you on the idea of that wasn't what they're expecting from the punt. They were expecting it to die somewhere inside. And the other part of that is, if it's a punt and it bounces, when that ball went into the end zone, the clock stopped right there at 24 seconds. If the ball bounces somewhere in the 10-yard line or whatever, now you don't touch the ball. Maybe now you run it down to 18 or 17 seconds, whatever it is, 19
seconds.
That's
what they're looking for. These are pro kickers. I mean, he's a good kicker.
He didn't get a good kick. Yeah. And if you're Belichick, you're looking at the two previous things that you've seen. One, your team didn't get a first down, okay? Because if you got a first down, you could have ended the game, right? You didn't do that, so you had to turn the ball over, and then, Chicago just ran the ball right down the field, moved the ball right down the field, and they got a touchdown to get within one score of you. So you're looking at it, sitting there saying, why would I want to give them the ball in midfield if we ended up missing the field goal?
And they're at the 33-yard line, with that when they punted. 50 yards isn't that big for Gostkowski, it's a legit question, but again, I guess the idea of giving him the ball on the 40-yard line with 25 seconds left is...
You probably have at least an 80%, 5% chance he's going to make that.
I don't think he had trust in his defense at that time, based on what he had just seen
That's
in the last...
But
you trust at your kicker, he's good from 60 yards.
Yeah, but maybe he didn't trust him enough in that situation. He knows. He goes out there with him beforehand. He knows how he's kicking it, on that turf. I don't know where the wind was. It was hard for us to tell, watching it on TV, where the hell the wind was going. Mm-hmm. But I think he takes all of those into consideration. But I think you have to look at both your offense if you're going to go for it in fourth down as opposed to kicking a field goal and running it, as Chris said, or you're looking at it the other way and saying, I don't know, based on what I just saw from my defense, because my defense could have closed this game out for me at about the 7-minute mark.
Your offense could have closed it out for him if they didn't have an interception off the fullback's catch, right? That would have ended.
It was going for it with running the ball. It was what, fourth and six, something like that, fourth down and 6 yards. I think that...
Is that what it was?
I could look it up for you.
Yeah, I think it was.
And if you run the likelihood of making it on a run,
it was fourth down and six.
You don't have your best running back in there.
Fourth down and six, okay. But the other part of the equation is, let's say you pass for it and you don't get it.
Clock stops.
Now you're at 30. Yeah, clock stops. But you're at the 33. You got them at the 33-yard line, not the 40-yard line. I don't know.
And they were moving the ball against you the last time they had it. They scored easily the last time. Yeah, yeah.
But you still even with a pass play. You're talking about you still only have 24 seconds on the clock. It has to be the idea that Belichick was expecting him to even kick it out of bounds on the 10-yard line or whatever. Give him the ball 90 yards to go with 24 seconds left. you're fine.
Unless you're Tom Brady.
It was such a weird game because you could look at it, and there are plays we could look at offensively in which they were really good. There was some stuff out there that was really good. Mm-hmm. And then you can look at it and say, boy, there was some stuff that was really bad by the offense as well. And then I'm not even including the Michelle injury. Then you look at the defensive side of the ball, we can say the same thing. They made some big plays during the course of the game, defensively here or there. Special teams, they made some big plays. They got a 95-yard kickoff return. They got a blocked punt for a touchdown, which you don't
almost even know.
Right. So it was some good and then some bad. Some good and then some bad.
The two ones that killed them was.
And to me, the only difference in the game here today was your quarterback could complete passes when he needed to, and their quarterback couldn't. Their quarterback was a pretty good running back at times, but mainly the runs he was getting is you had piss poor tackling.
Piss poor technique uncontained.
Yeah.
Those two things. You got to correct those. Those are but
to his point, you could make a case for maybe going for that
you
on
could.
Fourth and six. Yeah.
You could.
You know,
because it wasn't that much difference. And plus, like you said, you're going to eat up a couple more seconds on the clock running the ball.
But you also have faith in Allen to drop it inside the 20.
Yeah,
I just don't think he had trust based on the most recent thing he saw with his defense.
Yep.
You know, he just didn't have trust in him. Belichick has done strange things before. It's
strange to us, but
third and two, fourth and two against Indy with Peyton Manning,
right?
And at the 27 yard line,
he's been sick all week.
He did make it though. That
I know he did.
But Belichick doesn't just throw flip
it was
a coin.
The referee screwing.
We showed it on the TV show.
He did,
but Belichick doesn't just throw it out there. He thinks him through. What's the biggest odds for them not getting it?
But he also has to make that decision right then and there. And a 50-yard field goal shouldn't be something you think about with Gostkowski. He was definitely thinking of his defense, and he said, "I want to give my defense an extra 20 yards just in case, from 40." So, yeah, I want to give him at least an extra 25, 26 yards to deal with.
And I'm telling you.
Ended up being 13, right?
8:40 left in the game. Patriots are up by two touchdowns. You think the game is over, okay? Yep. Belichick was the only one that obviously realized it wasn't over in the way that he coached the rest of the way. But you would think it was over at that time, all right?
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't.
Right.
They couldn't close this game out.
And all you needed was one more first down.
That's it.
Really just one first down. And
couldn't do it.
No. A couple of big mistakes the offense made was killing them. But defense was getting lax. Plus, when you have a Hail Mary and the guy catches it in front of you on the 1 yard line, it should have been an interception.
You know, you don't often see where you could literally say, and Belichick says it all the time, we played well in all three phases of the game. At times they played well in all three phases of the game.
Right.
At times they played poorly in all three phases of the game.
We weren't consistent in all three phases of the game.
Yeah. Right.
How's that?
That's good. That's what he'll say.
That's good. That's why you're the guy in the air.
Here's Mike in Rhode Island. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mikey.
You know what? Hey, guys, doing good show. You know what? It's really disappointing watching the tackling in the NFL.
Oh.
I mean, it's just excruciating. And the Patriots, I think they got lucky today. You know what I mean?
Oh, they did.
They did. One foot.
Number 80 was wide open all game long.
Mm-hmm.
I think they completed like five balls to their wide receivers. If they have a quarterback that does anything, I mean – it's just, I watched the game, and I'm like, this is, like, unwatchable. I mean, on both sides, not just the Patriots. I mean, the whole league.
You know why? They don't practice anymore.
The funny thing is, though.
Hold on. They don't practice anymore. In the old days, you'd practice live tackling and practice a lot of times. Wednesday or Thursday. Because you've got to get, I know myself, I needed full speed to get the feel of the play in order to make yourself effective. Linebackers need to do that to get the reads, but especially tackling. Guys don't know where to tackle. Can't put my head there. Well,
like my head up. They get around it, and they, you know, in the old days, I watched Freddie play. I'm a Niners guy. Grew up in the Bay Area. Those guys were badass on defense, man. And they wouldn't stand around and watch somebody else tackle a guy.
Well, I don't think the effort is different. I think what's happening now is offenses are much more spread out, and good tackling is always accompanied by getting a lot of guys to the ball. There's more space. You have to cover much more of the field now. It's just the way it is, and I think you're absolutely right, Mike. I think that there is an issue with tackling, but I think part of it, not all of it, but part of it is the fact that everything is spread out, and you've got to get more guys to the ball.
And you can't beat up guys. Like when the Giants played the Buffalo Bills, they beat up guys, and they did it all the time, over and over. And you can't hit like that. You can't attack guys like that. So all that changes.
I think it's concussion protocol overreach. can't hit the quarterback, can't hit the receivers.
That's the game.
Well, don't listen to the NFL when they tell you it's about player safety. That's a byproduct of asset protection. You're protecting your $100 million quarterback who puts fans in the seats.
Mike, I think the NFL loves the game the way it is right now.
Yes, they
do. Ratings are back again.
Yep.
And it's entertaining, and they would rather see a 38-31 game as opposed to these 17-14 games.
True.
And Mike brings up a great point, too. Tight ends have destroyed the Patriots this year. You know the one guy they were able to contain this year?
I know.
Tight end? It's Kelce.
Yeah.
who's the best of the bunch.
But
Ebron destroyed him, if you remember, a couple weeks ago.
But that's also,
and today Trey Burton did the exact same thing.
But you're also talking about the second best tight end in the league. So we saw what they were doing. They were putting a guy over the top of him, whether it was Flowers or most often it was Hightower. Yep. And Hightower wasn't covering him, but he was lining up on him to disrupt his release off the line of scrimmage. I don't think they have the respect for very many tight ends to the point where they'll do that.
Well, they didn't with Burton today. And to me, Burton is one of those poor man Kelce's.
Agreed.
Okay, he's a receiver. He's not your traditional old tight end.
Agreed, but you don't expect him to have 9 catches for 130 yards.
I expected him to throw the Philly special. I thought he was going to throw
again.
That quarterback.
Well, they're running a lot of zone there. When he just found the spot, just stayed there. There was no one within 10 yards. That shouldn't be like that. We asked Belichick, well, there's no defense that they put out there that someone shouldn't be covered, and he wasn't covered, whether it be zone or man. So
no,
and you and I could have thrown that.
And the funny thing is that you're not seeing a lot of linebacker play because they were in nickel, they were in dime through most of the game today. So you're seeing defensive backs out there on a guy, which you would think would be quick enough, right, to be able to stay with a Trey Burton. How many times did you see Burton, and that was the 80 number that he was talking about, how many times did you see him wide open out there?
Right. Well, oftentimes in zone, there's going to be dead spots in zones, but a zone doesn't just mean that you ignore what's going on in front of you. What you do is, what linebackers and defensive backs have to do is pattern read. If you see certain combinations of things happen, if you see your tight end coming down the middle, or if you see your running back going out to the flat or whatever, you've got to understand the combinations and where the most likely threat's going to be. And for some reason, they left that middle of the field wide open.
All right, we got a bunch of open phone lines. I'm surprised people aren't talking about this Patriot team. I think they're getting caught up in the Red Sox and the World Series. We will talk a little bit about that between now and 7:30. But we get back to your phone calls on the Pats at 617-779-7937 right here on the Real Post Game Show.
Patriots go empty now. White will shift. Give it to him. White, the angle and the touchdown for the Patriots.
Patriots won it 38-31. It was not pretty, but still goes down as a W. Hopefully we'll forget about it weeks from now. They've got Buffalo next Monday night. And
it's
then
a challenge.
And it's Green Bay, and then it's who's not real good. And then it's Tennessee, who I'm not sure what they are quite yet.
Real interesting decision today.
Yeah, and Vrabel's doing this. You know, he's trying to make these tough guy decisions, and those, unless they all work out for you,
you're in trouble.
I know.
You're in trouble.
It helps if you have a better quarterback.
It certainly
does. And Butler
does.
Turned out to be good.
Who's that?
Butler.
Malcolm Butler has been horrendous.
Now
we'll get to that a little bit later on. Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy's in Pittsfield. Hi, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Jimmy.
I just wanted to say congratulations to the Patriots for clinching the AFC East today.
You're right.
The hat and T-shirt day.
I feel like every year there's a week where the competition has a collective thud, and we pull one out, and it's over, and it feels like it's over already.
But it is.
Do you remember the foolishness a few weeks ago? We were just mentioning it about people saying, oh, I don't know, Miami's going to be good this year. They had won, the first four games in a row, three games. People got excited, please.
Yeah, well, every year something like that happens. Either it's Buffalo or Miami. But
the Jets.
I've got an idea, and I promise you guys are going to laugh when you hear it, so you might as well laugh now.
All right. Funny laugh or odd laugh?
No, it has to do with equipment. And, you know, in a baseball game, when a pitcher – when they put in a knuckleball pitcher, they change gloves because you have to use a different kind of equipment.
The catcher.
And the catcher.
Yep.
It seems like in the old days, the kickers used to have these really small face guards that came down almost below their chin, and they looked weird, but it was only because they very rarely got hit. Why can't the punt receivers change helmets and put a smaller face guard that goes below their chin? Because it seems like whenever it hits him in the face. It's a matter of inches.
You know? You think Edelman bobbled the punt because of an equipment issue?
Yeah, but he
not
would.
Just Edelman. I'm not talking about just Edelman. It just
someone else took it off the face mask this week, this year too.
Goes off a face guard.
Well, they're all wearing different helmets now. Yeah. You know, so I don't know.
Is there a rule against having a different?
No. No, there's no rule, but you would have had Edelman with a broken nose.
Yeah, you can't have the, like they had years ago with the one little bar. Yeah.
Or no mask.
Yeah,
well,
maybe
no,
a kicker.
No, they could wear the plexiglass over their face.
Okay.
When the sun gets in.
Suppose it gets fogged out, and you're screwed, right?
Then you're fogged up.
You're thinking, though, so that's good.
I like the thought process, Jimmy. I do like it. Let's go to Bill. Bill's in West Springfield. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Frank?
Good, hey, Billy. How you doing?
Broadcaster.
What?
Anyway, you're my favorite broadcaster.
I will tell Joey.
Uh-huh.
You're the guy.
No, that's okay. You can tell him.
Anyway, I just want to say, in the secondary, we got to get rid of Eric Rowe and everything. He's too slow, often hurt. And I know you guys, I've always been kind of against what you guys said in the Super Bowl last year. He wasn't that good. He always allowed a completion. He always was, like, trailing behind and everything. And sure, he made the tackle shortly after the catch then. But nowadays, man, he's just getting burnt. You know?
Believe it or not, the only time he got burnt was on the first two. Mm-hmm. We're going back to the Super Bowl again.
Mm-hmm.
The first two possessions by
the
Eagles.
Catch.
From that point, right, from that point on, he played pretty well. And we'll get to Malcolm Butler a little bit later on because Belichick might have been onto something with Malcolm Butler well before anybody else was. But wait a minute, Bill, I thought I agree with you. There were a couple plays where he got burned, but there were a couple of other plays where he was really good. That's the state of all of them right now. I could say the same thing about Jason McCourty. Good play. Next play. Oh, my God, he got burned.
How about against Kansas
City? Oh, that's a hole. That's a grab by Jason McCourty. Why are you grabbing the guy? 10 yards down the field. They're all doing this.
You mean everybody in the league or just the Patriots?
Everybody's
doing it.
Because it's wide open. It's hard to cover it.
You can figure it out.
Take away a lot of your tools. You can't bump them after 5 yards. You can't grab them at all. Now, it's the physical.
Now, could the Patriots secondary be better and play better? Of course. Absolutely. It's not a great group yet at this point.
Where do you think Gilmore's playing fine? Concern.
Gilmore's playing fine, but it also – what's that?
Do you think it's all new rule changes, though?
No, I think some of it is. I think some of it is, but I also think that that you don't have oftentimes there's not a lot of pressure going on for these quarterbacks.
Everybody's rushing three.
Yeah, it's
everybody's in sub packages now.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think we all agree that it would be great if the Patriots could upgrade their secondary. I mean, that would be fantastic. But
upgrade the D line too.
Chung.
What's that?
Hey, Bill,
we lose Chung. You know.
Who?
Chung. Chung's been terrific. And he's been terrific. And he gets beaten up. He was hurt at the end of today's game as well. He was hurt again at the end of the game. But he keeps on going back and out there and making stuff happen. Jackson Lawrence, he wants to talk about the defense. Go ahead,
Jack.
Hey, Jack. Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you doing?
My biggest question, I mean, after that play with Trubisky, it was just embarrassing seeing him run 70 yards and then get the touchdown. I'm just wondering what they can do. You know, put a spy out there to be able to keep these quarterbacks contained.
They did have a spy most of the time.
Not all the time. No, not most of the time.
Most of the time.
Nope.
Yeah.
They did. I don't think they started with it. Oh, I might not have noticed, but Van Noy was spying on him for a while there.
But when he ran all those yards, it's just simple. Keep it contained. Break down when you get a tackle. He was running back and forth all over the field. What was that, the 10-yard touchdown? He ran 70 yards? Someone should have got it.
But you know what he did? He looked like he was going out of bounds. They gave up on the play. He spun and came back into the field to play. He got a touchdown. That was just, what are you anticipating what he's doing? That's not your job.
I know, but they got to tackle, too. I mean, this is just not a Belichick team that's tackling what they used to in the years past.
But you know, Jack, and I'm not trying to make excuses for them because the defense at times, you're right, was horrible and the tackling was horrible. But Steve brought up that point. This is the NFL. See, everybody loved Jacksonville this year. Why did they love Jacksonville? Defense. They loved them because of the defense. Here's the problem. Jacksonville would be fine if we were playing the game 10 years ago. The problem is you're playing in 2018, and what Jacksonville does well, their skill set, what they do well, doesn't play in the National Football League anymore.
But it worked last year for them.
To a point, yeah.
To a point. It worked last year for them. But what happened is you play better teams, and people open the game up. And once you get behind Jacksonville, they're done.
Yeah, no, I get that point, man. I'm curious what we can do going forward, but thanks for answering.
Well, they got to play better than this. You're right about it. They got to tackle better than
this. Not even a question.
Now, you can't give up some of the stuff they gave up, but if you're expecting the defense to look like the 85 Bears with any team in the league right now, you're wasting your time because it doesn't exist anymore. And the so-called defensive teams that people were talking about are teams right now that are struggling because they can't score.
Right.
You know, Blake Bortles got benched at halftime today because they can't put any points up on the board. So now all the pressure is on the defense, and the defense is playing against rules that benefit the offense. And the game is wide open, as Steve was saying before. I thought Brady nailed it the other night. He was on with Scratchy on his Monday night radio appearance on the Monday night football game. And he said that there's far more space out there. Mm-hmm. He said there's far less contact in the sport than there was a few years ago. And it's become, the game has become a skills competition.
Yep. It really does.
We got it right here. Listen to this.
Tom, I know you're not a defensive coordinator, but why can't any of these defenses in the NFL, including the Patriots, seem to stop anybody? Why have we seen so much offense, particularly this season?
Well, I think it's the evolution of offenses and football. I think, you know, some of the rules are playing into that. It's just less of a contact sport now. It's much more of a space game, much more of a skills competition, I would say, than what it used to be.
He's right.
It's a great way to put it.
He nailed it. All three of those things.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And defenses will have to adjust, and I don't know what they can do to, you know, back when, you know, You could load up on a team that liked to run the ball. You could blitz a non-mobile quarterback. You could rush only three guys and flood the zones or whatever. But the way things are right now, it's harder and harder to play defense. And not for nothing, Freddie hit it on the head earlier. You can't scare guys anymore.
No.
You can't. Right. You, I mean,
it, intimidating.
It was standard practice up until probably nine or 10 years ago that you could intimidate guys into not wanting to catch the ball, whether it was over the middle or whatever. And you could scare quarterbacks too. You could scare quarterbacks. Now you can't, there's no fear. There's absolutely no fear.
No, because they know the flag. If you're a receiver, you're sitting there going, you hit me, the flag's coming out. And then next time you'll think twice about hitting me.
And guys, you're going to get fined. Right. If it's, you know, if it's something egregious, it's, and I get it. Listen, this is what the NFL is, and it's a great product. It's still the most exciting thing on television when you get a good game, and it is what it is. The NFL screws up a lot, but they haven't screwed this one up. As much as an old bastard as I want to be about the NFL, this is a product that sells.
And the league does not want to see guys get hurt. Yeah, Jack Tatum and all these guys, and
especially quarterbacks,
Ronnie Lott, guys that were real hammer guys. And you can't. They wouldn't even be able to play in this league.
No.
Their thing was intimidation.
No.
And there's, like you said, you come in on a quarterback and you whack him and knock the ground three or four times. He starts looking around.
Yes.
You whack him now, you're out of the
game.
Well,
look at Vontaze Burfict with the Bengals.
He would have played perfectly back.
He would be great 20 years ago. Now most of the players want him out of the league.
Right.
They're sitting there going, "That's all you're doing is you're fining him.
Yep.
You're not suspending him. You're not getting him out of the league. They want him out of the league."
Imagine Jack Tatum being in the
league. Oh, forget about
it. I get it. I understand what the NFL is trying to do, I still like watching the NFL, and I love watching the NFL. But there's something missing from what it used to be.
Well, you've seen it the last couple of weeks, Steve, where even roughing the quarterback, you see guys now veering off of their tackle once they see that the quarterback is in position to throw the football. And in some cases, they're blowing the tackle. They're screwing up.
We saw it last week.
Right, but they're doing it for a reason, and that is they don't want to get penalized.
Not that.
And then you get fined on top of that. You lose some money out of it.
You do two of them, you're going to whack you. All of a sudden, the commissioner sends a $50,000 fine, even if you didn't get a penalty. There was a couple of years ago that, what was his name, from Pittsburgh, the Samoan guy, whacked someone, didn't get a penalty, and then he got a $50,000 fine. You got to tell the guys, here's your menu. If you do this, you get fined, this. If you don't get a penalty, then all of a sudden you get fined $50,000.
Yeah, I don't know how you coach guys to do that, because you're asking them to make a fine line decision while you're in the act of doing what you're supposed to do, and that is tackle the quarterback.
Or knock the ball out of the box, man.
Because when you're sitting in an office at a conference table, it's easy to make rules because you're not sitting there looking. And I'm surprised some of the former players that are part of this rules committee or part of the NFL brass aren't saying
it's going along.
It's difficult. You're right. A lot of them do. Right. They're happy to have the job. It's difficult to tell a guy who's going 100 miles an hour that he has to stop on a dime.
And he can change directions and explode. And you're a linebacker, like Steve, a big linebacker. You do everything you can just to take him down. Now you're going to tag him and you know, not hurt him and all these different things. It's very difficult. These guys can fly. So now it's opening up more opportunities.
But again, the NFL gets it. Yep. The market loves it, and it's still the best product on TV.
It looks like they care.
You know? And that's when they really get the bonus of acting like they care about player safety.
And they're getting ratings back, and that's all they
absolutely
care about.
Right.
The commissioner's looking at those ratings.
So you can't
do that. It's a good point, though. What they should do, they should have the competition committee. They should actually do it on the field with live players. Yeah. You know, they could take, practice players or whatever, and have Roger Goodell sit there and rush the quarterback and see if he can get away with it.
Now, if you're sitting with the owners, right, and they have bow ties on, they're smoking a little pipe, and they're drinking their coffee, so that'd be a good play. That'd be very good. We should make sure they don't hurt
pipes anymore. Does anybody smoke pipes?
Guys that make those rules.
Josh Gordon.
They probably have a top hat and a monocle,
too. A top
too.
Hat, yeah, and a monocle. And they're like, I think that would be very good. Let's make sure
when
they don't hurt.
When did Daddy Warbucks buy a franchise, right?
I took pictures.
When did the guy from Monopoly buy a franchise?
I'm trying to give you a visual of the guys making the decision. They're not like Steve DiOsti.
That's my man.
So they're guys that have no clue what it is to try and tackle
something. I agree. And all they look at is the ratings, and they look at the marketing of it, and the league looks a lot better. It's flashy. They want that. Yeah. I'm telling
no
you.
No blood and guts.
They loved last week's game, 43-40.
Agreed.
It was exact 38-31 today.
You know,
love it. This is perfect.
That was fun. We're sitting there watching that.
That was fun.
Especially
from two defensive guys sitting there.
As much as I didn't want to enjoy it, I enjoyed the hell out of that game.
I listened to the end of it.
This one, even though we had almost as many points, this one I didn't enjoy as much because it was a lot more sloppy than last week.
There was mistakes. This was mistake
sloppy.
After mistake.
It shouldn't have been.
Last week was two great offenses
who
were going toe-to-toe, and whoever had the ball last was going to win that football game. We were saying it in the third quarter. We were all sitting there watching and going, whoever gets the ball last is going to win this game because defense is almost irrelevant in the league. Now, Teddy Bruschi this week, and I thought he brought up a decent point, and a good point at that. He said, it's going to get you to the postseason, but he said, I got to believe they're going to put the flags away, and we get into the postseason, you're going to be able to play
a little bit
more defense.
It's like the offense is the Harlem Rockets, Harlem
Globetrotters.
And we're the other team.
It's the Houston
and the defense.
Rockets.
The defense is
Washington
the other
Generals.
Team they put
Washington.
Out there so they can beat up. We're just pawns out there. They can run around.
Right. You know? Exactly. All right, 617-779-7937. I see you on the phones. They're lighting them up. Now we go to you next. All right, we have the task of picking the player of the game. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. We let Freddie do it last week, and he did not pick Brady last week.
He regrets that. He's been talking about it all week.
I'm going to go to you.
My email got overloaded.
Overloaded with what? You just don't understand the email.
You've just been emailing yourself.
I was. I woke up in the morning, I had 50 messages from myself. Don't ever do that again.
It's called a group text.
He's got four emails. He emails himself all the time.
So
no, I'm not alone.
Gordon was pretty good today. Four receptions, 100 yards, couple of big plays.
Not bad.
Okay.
Hogan, after he got hurt, was pretty good. James White, once again, was
White had two touchdowns?
White had two touchdowns.
How many catches?
He had eight. Ten
catches?
Targets. He had eight catches.
How many yards?
57 yards. Well, he's never going to get it, you know.
Hogan making excuse what? Five catches?
Who's that?
Hogan, five catches.
Six.
For six.
Seven targets. Gordon had seven targets, had four catches. It's not going to be Cordarrelle Patterson, even though he had
a
95-yard return.
That was a big return.
Nope. He already negated.
Why do you guys hate special teams?
I don't. He became ineligible when he fumbled.
He just likes to flash.
Then he made up for it. He just needed incentive.
Who do you want, Steve?
How about Dante Hightower? Defensively?
He had the, did he block the punt?
He blocked the punt,
and he was pretty good defensively.
Yeah.
What do you say?
What were Tom Brady's numbers again?
240.
I don't bother.
So, you know what? That's no way to do this. You just got to get the greatest.
Was he below standard?
Of the above. Your players of the game brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
Except Tom Brady.
The worst part about it was during the break.
Shut your mouth.
During the break, we were talking about who's the player of the game, and Fred said it won't be Brady. And so if we had gone to him today for the second week in a row, he would have passed on his guy, Tom Brady.
White was player of the game.
How do you look at a picture and look at those beautiful eyes of Tom Brady and actually say, Tom, you're not the player of the game?
Stop looking at his eyes. His wife's going to stop worrying. But the problem is, you two hate Brady. So if I bring it up.
You two jump off.
Love Brady. We just don't go.
We just don't worship.
We're able to be critical.
Just if he runs out
we're able
field,
to be critical.
He's the MVP.
We don't worship at the altar of
well,
Tom.
Well, you should.
All right?
You're a football guy. You should.
Do you like the look he has in-game, the fire in his eyes? Or do you like that
Steve,
dreamy look?
Isn't it?
The dreamy look in his eyes. As
when he wins, the dreamy look and then the fire in the eye when he comes out.
And fire in the belly.
Belichick.
Giselle or Tom, what excites you the most?
He brought that up with Pete years ago.
Remember that
one? He said Tom.
Remember Pete hesitated?
Who looks like
one night with Tom or with Giselle?
Wow. Back to the phone calls we go. Here's Mike. He's in Rhode Island on
hey,
the Mike. Real Post Game Show. Hi, Mike.
Way back.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Mike.
Good. I just wanted to give you my feeling. An overview of today's game. I'm not going to be critical.
You're going to be honest.
Talking to the people that I was with.
Is that from your head?
Close your windows.
What the hell is this, Mike?
It's just bugging his ears.
What are you running belt. A little book on the side? What
turn
are you doing
your seat,
here?
Buckle your seatbelt.
Rhode Island. He's going to Fred and Steve's.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Are you there?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
No, we're hearing ringing.
Okay, all right. Well. As the game progressed, I go to a certain place. I don't drink at all, so I wasn't all goofy. And I'm watching the game, and everybody's got a little something to say here and there. And when we got to about three quarters of the way through the game, I looked at everybody that I was friendly with at the bar, and I said to them, you know, the atmosphere today, with it not being super cold and the bright sunshine, I said, it feels like everybody's out there, including the people in the stands, like they're happy and they're playing golf. It wasn't an environment conducive to, like, let's rip somebody's head off and
like Freddie's phone
go around and, you know, really like a Patriots cup.
You're losing me.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Are
you hearing the ringing, Mike, or is that just in your head or my head? No.
It's a broad that I can't kick.
Oh.
She's calling on my other phone.
Well, shut that phone off. How's that sound?
I can't continue to do it, Mike. What was he saying? Was he making any sense?
That it was too laid back in atmosphere, I think, in the entire scenario between the on the field, in the stands, whatever. I don't know.
What are the Patriots worried about the fans in the stands?
Well, no. I think he mentioned on the field, too. It seemed like it wasn't a very intense attitude.
Oh, I disagree. I think they played hard today. Was effort an issue today? I don't think that was the case.
I could have misunderstood. I'm not sure, but I think that's what he was trying to say.
Between the ringing and the screaming, I didn't know what it was talking about. But no, he said he's at a bar, but he doesn't drink. Why do you go to a bar if you ain't going to drink? Go to a restaurant.
Wait a minute. You go to the cigar bar once in a while. You don't drink often.
It's true, but it's not a drink bar.
Because his wife won't let him. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis is in Pittsfield. Hey,
she takes pictures.
Dennis?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, good.
Dennis, how are you?
Hey, a couple quick things. As I was waiting, I was listening. I was going to mention Patterson going into the end zone after the kickoff. I talking to the two former professional players there, I'd be interested to hear what Belichick's going to say to him. It's slowing down at the five.
He'll say something.
That's a good point. Can we bring this up right now? Thank you for bringing this one up, Dennis. So Patterson is running 95 yards for a kickoff return. And at the five-yard line, he stops and he waits for J.C. Jackson, mm-hmm. who screwed up on the last possession,
right.
to catch up so we can high-five him? What the hell was that?
Not a good
thing.
That
bothered me more than anything else in the game.
I agree. That was ridiculous.
It didn't bother me that much, but I think Belichick is going to fall. Hold on. When Belichick sees it on film, he's going to say, what the hell were you thinking about?
He's going to ridicule him in front of players.
That kind of activity wouldn't bother you, seeing somebody do that?
It would if we're playing, but nowadays it's something you see all the time.
Suppose they come up.
Such a modern thinker.
No, Steve, I have evolved.
You are definitely down with the
with
millennial
an antique brain. That's what he's got.
Huh?
Excuse me?
One more question for you, though, why I was – we were talking about how wide open the game was. I was thinking about this while I was waiting. Is we talk about the rule changes. We talk about, you know, getting fined. You can't hit somebody. No one talks about when it's like that. It seems like the defense is on the field a lot longer. Are they getting a little more dog, do you think? I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thanks, guys.
I don't know. What was the it seemed like Tom Brady was not on the field much early on in that game, right?
He fumbled the kickoff, and then we ran a touchdown for kickoff, so we go back on the – right? Then the defense goes back
time
in the field.
And
then Michelle fumbled, and the defense goes back in the field. So a bunch of these things happen, right, because of mistakes, and they were back on the field.
Time of possession was virtually the same. About 30 minutes each.
But the first half, they were all those mistakes happened. They were defenses on the field more, correct?
I'll give you one.
When a kick, when the kickoff goes for a touchdown, the defense goes back in the field because they're getting the ball back. And the fumble on the kickoff, the defense goes back in the field because the other team gets it.
Right.
Michelle getting the fumble in, they go back in the field. So a couple extra times that they normally don't go back in the field, they did.
Yeah, that was the thing I even forgot about, that Michelle ended up fumbling on the play in which he was hurt. That was another big mistake that they made. But getting back to the Cordarrelle Patterson thing. So Patterson already screwed up on a kickoff return in which he ran into his own guy and lost the ball. They couldn't have been pleased when he went to the sideline for that one. So now he comes up and he makes up for it because he gets the big 95-yard kickoff return, finds some space, open up. The kicker's the only one he had to beat once he got into the open field. But they're all coming down the field to chase him now, to catch up with him. And what is he doing? If you look at it, he's not looking over his shoulder. He looks over. He sees J.C. Jackson coming back, a kid who had already screwed up not once but twice.
And a rookie.
And he suddenly wants to be able to celebrate with him at the five-yard line. I tell you what, take it for another 5 yards. Trust me, J.C. Jackson will still be there when you take it into the end zone.
True.
Then you can high-five.
Remember Buffalo back against Dallas in the Super Bowl?
The one-yard line.
BB chased him down the field, the lineman. He stopped before and get the ball whacked.
Yeah.
Belichick will jump on him. I didn't bother me that much. It was stupid.
That's not what Patriot players do, guys.
No, they don't
We talk all the time about how disciplined they are, how they don't do stupid things the other teams do. This was a stupid thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if one of his teammates, whether it's a guy like even a James White or a Tom Brady or a Matthew Slater or somebody says, hey, you know, that's not how we do things around here. It's, you know, finish the play and then celebrate with the teammates.
I don't think they have to. Belichick will make sure.
Well, I'm saying before even I wouldn't even be surprised. Probably. Because a lot of those things happen. A lot of those things are policed by your teammates. But
I got to believe Joe Judge said something to him when he came off the field.
No doubt.
And said, what are we doing here?
Especially.
You turn around and all of a sudden the cell is coming from the other side.
But I do think by the time he turned around, he knew that they weren't even going to come close to him. So I don't think he was he had any worries about that. But
still a bad look, don't you think?
It is. I agree. Especially coming off the fact that you gave them 7 points earlier, so this this is a net here. You both you gave up 7 points earlier.
Maybe you're right. Maybe he looked back. Maybe he said, "I've got a plenty of room here. I can stop now and do it." It's still an ass clown move.
You don't do this stuff.
But
you probably felt like crap when he fumbled it. Now he's fired up and he wants to just
get fired
again.
Five yards later, it's happened
several times to people. A couple guys drop the ball before they even get in the end zone.
Fred, they let you celebrate now in the end zone when you get a touchdown. He could have done a dance. He could have done whatever he wanted in the end zone.
Right.
Okay. Instead, he decided he wanted to wait up for this specific player because this player, like him, screwed up and he had to high-five in a 5-yard line.
Happiness.
Stop it.
How about some of the guys there was a guy that spiked it before he got across the end zone a couple of years ago.
I do remember that. That was an ass-clown move, too.
That would have been worse.
Yeah. All right, 617-779-7937 right here on the Real Postgame Show.